following message is from New Life Gillette series, Warrior. This week, Pastor Karen presents part three of this series.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I have a question for you today. Who here feels weary? I think these are wearying times. I see some hands waving. Yes, I feel weary. And I don't mean just tired. I mean weary, like this little girl.
I'm taking the water.
I'm taking a nap.
You want to take a nap?
I'm taking a nap here.
Okay, take a nap right there then. Good night.
Good night.
She is at the beach, and she is beyond tired. She is the point of weary. Lay down on the beach and go to sleep. She is done. And I think we've all felt that way. And I think these past few weeks, maybe even these past few months, have brought us to that point where a lot of us just feel weary. It is hard. Excuse me. As you came in this morning, you were handed a kazoo and a baggie. Go ahead and pull that kazoo out of your baggie. You're going to need it. Since I'm teaching today, audience participation is required. Aren't you glad you came this morning? All right, I'm going to give you a quick kazoo lesson. If you haven't played one of these since elementary music class, you put the fat end in your mouth, not the skinny end. And you have to hum, talk, sing through it. Blowing won't do anything. So I want you all, I'm going to do it and then you do it. Just go do-do-do-do. Ready? Awesome. Perfect. All right. Keep it in your hand. You're going to need it for a little while. All right. Let's talk about the different kinds of weary that we might feel. Now, these are not scientific. You're not going to find them in any kind of psychology textbook. They're just me watching the world and seeing the kinds of weary that I've seen. The first one is bone tired weary. It's the kind of weariness that comes from working long hours. It's the kind of weariness that comes from not getting enough sleep. It comes from just working hard. And I think this is the kind of weary that the psalmist in Psalm 6 was feeling when he said, "Have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony." It's that kind of weary that literally makes your body hurt. Maybe you're a new parent and you work all day long and then you go home and you're up half the night with a screaming newborn and your body is weary. Maybe you're one of these guys who works in the mine and you work 20 hours a day, 30 days straight in a row. Until the end of your shift, you are weary. Your body is tired and you just feel like that little girl, like I just want to lay down right where I am and go to sleep because I can't take another step. If you have ever in your life, ever felt bone tired, weary, I need you to take your kazoo and give me a little trumpet blast. Awesome. We've all felt it, right? There's another kind of weary that isn't a physical weary. It's more of that mental or emotional weary that we feel. I call it breakdown weary. The kind when you feel like I might just break down and lose it. And this is the kind of weary that I think the psalmist in Psalm 69 was feeling when he wrote, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water and the floods overwhelm me. I am exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for my God to help me." And if you've ever been there and you've felt that mental and emotional anguish, the kind of weariness that just comes from having long-term stress. Maybe you care for a loved one who's chronically ill. Maybe you have a teenager who's just a real handful, and some days it just takes you to that brink, right? Maybe you lost your job when COVID hit and there just aren't jobs to be found and you have this emotional stress of needing to provide. Or maybe you have a job, but it is a drudgery to go there every day. Maybe you're in a struggling marriage and each day just feels like a battle. Or maybe you're someone who's been waiting and you've been waiting and waiting for whatever it is, and it seems like maybe it's just not going to happen, and you're stressed emotionally. If you've ever felt that breakdown kind of weary, give me a toot on your horn right now. Yeah, we've all felt it, right? The third kind of weariness that I see is the beaten down kind of weary. It's the weariness that comes from being under constant attack, the kind of weariness that makes you feel like, I don't know if I can live another day. I think the psalmist was feeling this when he wrote Psalm 13 and said, oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord, my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. And if you felt this beaten down kind of weary, it's a kind of weariness that just comes from being in a battle. The kind of weariness that comes from a toxic relationship, from a relationship that's abusive or condemning or critical, where you feel like you're constantly defending yourself, where you're constantly on edge because you might set that other person off. It's the kind of weariness that leads you to feel like, I just don't know if it's worth living like this anymore. If you've ever felt the beaten down kind of weary, go ahead and give me a little toot on your kazoo. Yeah. The fourth kind of weariness is the hope is gone kind of weariness. And I think this is the kind of weariness that a lot of us in our society right now are feeling. It's the kind of weariness that comes as a result of just living in a broken world. And it's when you look around and all you see is gray and cloudy, and it just seems like the light isn't shining, or you just can't see it anymore. And I think that the psalmist who wrote Psalm 31 was feeling this when he said, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in distress. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. I'm dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. Sin has drained my strength. I am wasting away from within. And as we live in a broken world and we look at all that's going on, it's hard and we feel this kind of hope is gone weary. Maybe you're struggling with chronic illness and you've been praying for years, God, please take this pain. And you wake up and you're in pain again the next day. Or maybe it's the pain that you feel from living in sin. And now you're having to deal with the repercussions and the consequences of your sin. And you're living in pain. When you look around, it just looks like everything is going wrong right now, God. Everything is going wrong. And you feel like your hope is gone. If you've ever felt that type of weariness where everything is gray, one more time, blow your kazoo. Yeah. But I think there's also a fifth kind of weary. And I call it option D weary. Do you remember back when you were in elementary school, maybe middle school, I don't know, maybe even high school, and you took those multiple choice tests and options A and B and C were all lovely, delightful answers. And then there was this option D, all of the above. And I think that some of us sometimes get to that point where we feel that all of the above kind of weary. I think that's where the psalmist was when he wrote Psalm 40. And he said, for troubles surround me, too many to count. My sins pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They outnumber the hairs on my head. I have lost all courage. And if you've ever felt option D weary, you get to that place where your body is tired and your mind is tired and you feel like you're living under constant attack. And when you look around, everything is gray and you feel all those kinds of weary at once. And the story that we're going to talk about today, I think that's where the Israelites were at. I think they were feeling option D weary. We're going to jump into the book of Joshua chapter 6 today and look at this story where God asked the people of Israel to blow their trumpets. And I think those option D people, option D weary people, were probably feeling a little like you, like, this is kind of silly. Now, these people had come out of a period of oppression in Egypt, a 400-year oppression. We're talking many, many, many people, generations, had come and gone and lived under the hand of Pharaoh, where they had been in slavery. That is just the setting for these people who are weary. And then Moses, their great deliverer, comes and rises up, and he leads them out of Egypt, and they go into the wilderness where they mess things up. And so God punishes them and says, you're going to stay here for 40 years as wanderers living in the desert. Do you guys remember what this is? Some of you may not know what this is, I'll tell you. This is called a map. It's the way we used to find our way from one place to another. We used to have to get on here and figure out your route and follow the directions. After this came a thing called MapQuest. You got to get on your dial-up computer and look up your directions to where you were going. After that, then they got those little GPS things you could have. Now you just talk to your phone, and in whatever accent you want, she'll tell you where to go. But back in the day, we used to use a map to get where we were going. And if you were following a map and suddenly there was a detour or construction, you were kind of sunk because you knew where you wanted to get, but you didn't know how to get there. And this required sometimes doing this very strange and uncomfortable thing, which was stopping at a gas station and asking for directions. It was hard and it was wearying until you got to your destination. You and whoever you were traveling with were probably at odds with one another. Now imagine an entire caravan of an entire nation's worth of people wandering in the desert from place to place, trying to get to where they know they're supposed to be, but they can't get there. And I can only imagine all these Israelite women saying, honey, don't you think we should stop at the town up ahead and ask for directions? And all those Israelite men just saying, I'm going to pull this camel over right now and you're going to drive the rest of the way. It was wearying being wanderers. But on top of that, they had this awesome food, this miraculous food that was provided by God. It was called manna and quail. And they ate it 3 meals a day, 7 days a week for 40 years. I can't eat the same thing 2 days in a row, right? My leftovers are disgusting the next day. They ate the same meal every day for 40 years. These people were weary. And they were on the move, constantly packing up and moving to the next place and settling down and packing up and moving to the next place and settling down. And they were constantly moving through hostile territory where they never knew if these people were going to let them pass peacefully or if they were going to be attacked. And they dealt with disease and they dealt with the consequences of their sin. And then when all hope is lost and they don't think things can get any worse in the wilderness, Moses, their great leader, dies. And they're left with this new guy, Joshua. And so this is where we pick up this story with these option D, beaten down, weary people. And they have come to the edge of Jericho. This is the land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, the place that they've been trying to get to for 40 years. And they're right outside of it. And God shows up. And we don't know if it's God, or if it's an angel who's standing in the place of God, but we know it's someone who's speaking for God. And this is where we're entering the story today, in Joshua 6, verse 2. And it says, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. It's as if God is saying, here you go, Joshua. Here is the key to your new home. But first, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark. That was the box that carried their sacred scriptures, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Yay! What a great idea, God! What? Are you kidding me? I can only imagine that Joshua is thinking, this makes zero sense, God. We are fighting men. We have done this before. Like, why don't we just charge right in there? But you want us to go walk around the town? Is there a hidden camera? Like, you're kidding me, right? This is a prank. This isn't for real. Because they have fought many battles and God had come through for them many times. They knew what God could do. And yet that's not what God told them. He didn't say, go take that city. He said, go walk around the city. Verse 6 goes on and says, so Joshua called the priests together and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. Here is this young inexperienced leader, this new leader, and he stands in front of this entire nation, and he says to them, we're supposed to take up our box and take up our horns, and we're supposed to go parade around this town, this fortified city, double walls that hold some of the mightiest warriors inside. You remember the ones that 40 years ago we were terrified of? And we're just supposed to go walk around in front of them? I can only imagine all these people are just shaking in their shoes, thinking, this is so intimidating. We're supposed to parade in front of our enemies. But guess what they did? They did what they were called to do. They obeyed. They went and they did what God had called them to do. They picked up the ark. They took their horns and they went and started walking. Jumping down to verse 11. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. We want to do something, right? We are people who are doers. If something needs done, we want to make sure we see it through to completion. We take the task, we do it, we accomplish it. But God says, nope, I'm going to do it. You're going to walk. And can you imagine what it would have happened if the Israelites in this moment had said, God, I don't think that's the best idea, like parading in front of our enemies. We're just going to charge on in here and we're going to take the town. I think it would have gone very poorly. In fact, I think they would have been massacred. But remember that 40 years that they spent wandering in the wilderness? I think that 40-year stint in the wilderness had humbled them. I think they had tried things their own way enough times, and they had eaten crow just enough times. Actually, they didn't eat crow, they ate quail. But they had made mistakes just enough times that they were to the point where they thought, you know, this doesn't make a lot of sense, but we're going to do what God's calling us to do. And I wonder how many times we mess things up because we see that city and we draw our swords and we charge in there to take the city and we fail because all God wants us to do is go and walk and to trust him to knock down the walls on our behalf. In verse 14, it says, on the second day, they marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. They did what they were called to do, even though it didn't make sense. And then they did it again and again and again and again and again. And in verse 15, it says, on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and they marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times, again and again and again and again and again and again and again. 13 times they marched around in front of their enemies. They did that ridiculous thing that God called them to do. Do you know why? Because being warriors requires that we persevere. And warriors persevere by being obedient, even when it doesn't make sense. I asked you earlier if you feel weary, if you felt weary recently. And I want you to think for just a minute about where it is or when it is that you most often feel weary. maybe you have something or someone that jumps to mind immediately. Maybe you have a whole list of things right now that make you feel weary. But now I want you to imagine that an angel of the Lord, a huge, terrifying angel, comes and stands before you and says, that thing, that place, that person that makes you weary, I just want you to go walk around them. Just go walk. Just walk. That's all I want you to do. Just go walk. Oh, and by the way, take your Bible and take your kazoo. What, God? You want me to go walk around that thing? It seems utterly ridiculous when you put it into your own situation, doesn't it? And yet, when we think about it, God asks us to do a lot of things that seem ridiculous to us. God tells us that we're to love our enemies. We're to pray for those who persecute us, and we are to repay evil with good. But God, that doesn't make any sense to us as humans. Think, who is it? Who is your enemy? Who is that person in your life that you just can't think kindly of? That person that just kind of bugs you. God's saying, love them. Act lovingly towards them. Pray for them. Care for them. Be kind to them. Repay their evil with good. That makes no sense. God says, be joyful in hard times. Be patient in your suffering. Well, God obviously didn't know 2020 was coming, did he? God, you want us to be joyful in all of this crud? You want us to be patient as we go through this? This makes no sense. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. God, tomorrow might bring Corona 3000. It might be way worse than COVID-19. And you don't want us to worry? God says, don't give up meeting together. Even if meeting together means that you watch church online and you meet with your life group over Zoom. He says, don't put your trust in money. Trust in me. Obviously, he didn't know that the stock market was going to tank 3,000 times this year. I mean, these things just don't make sense. And yet warriors persevere by being obedient even when it doesn't make sense. That's what we're called to do. We obey when we don't understand. Warriors persevere because they have a goal. The Israelite people had a goal. It was this city, this promised land, and they could see it. It's like dangling a carrot in front of the donkey, right? And he just keeps walking because he sees that good thing in front of him. They could see it, and so they went, and they walked around it. And we have a good thing in front of us too, and it's called heaven. This world is not our home. The Bible tells us we are sojourners here, travelers, much like the Israelites as they wandered through for 40 years in the wilderness. We wander this earth for however many days God gives us, but it's not our home. It's not our final destination. And we have a place far better than Jericho. And the good news is God has already done the work of knocking down the walls by the death of his son, Jesus. And all we have to do is rush in there and claim our place in our eternal home. We have a goal. We keep our eyes on that goal. And when this world makes us weary, we remember our time on this earth is short. My life verse comes out of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 18, it says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we cannot see, they will last forever. The muck and the mire and the hate and everything that we see right now, it is temporary. Our home, our salvation, our time with the Lord, that is forever. And we persevere because we have that goal in mind. I've got good news for you. Warriors don't persevere alone. God didn't send Joshua to go parade around that city in front of his enemies by himself. He didn't even just send the fighting men or just send the priests. He sent the entire nation of Israel. All of them go walk together. But better than that, he went with them. We jump back in the story to verse 8. It said, after Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched in the presence of the Lord. Now, most of the time in scripture to this point, when we've seen that phrase, it's been used when there are sacrifices going on. And this is being done before the Lord. It's being done usually in the tabernacle, the place where God resided, where he came and met with his people. But here it says, as they obeyed, as they did what he called them to do, he went with them. He was with them. But better than that, we have the Holy Spirit with us at all times. Jesus came and he died and he resurrected. And when he went to heaven, he said, I will send the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, and he will tabernacle. He will live in you. He will go with you wherever you go. We don't go into this battle alone. We go together and we go with God. God goes with us. So what are you weary of today? What is making you weary? I encourage you to take this silly little kazoo home with you and put it in a place where it will remind you to just keep walking. Just keep doing the hard and strange things that God has called you to do. Keep walking because you know that he has already won the victory. He will get you to the goal and he is going with you. There's one last thing I want to share with you about warriors today, and that is that warriors celebrate before they reach their goal. Warriors celebrate before they get to the end zone. They celebrate because they know that God has already done the work, that God has already won the victory, that they will be victorious. In this story, they went and they blew their horns for 6 days before the walls fell. And on the seventh day, when did they shout? When did they celebrate? Before the walls fell. So if you are in a hard place today, I encourage you to celebrate because the victory is coming. The band's going to join me on stage and they're going to lead us in a song now. And this song talks about walking around the walls of whatever it is that makes you feel weary. And as we sing this song, we're singing it as a celebration. A celebration of that victory that is to come. And a declaration that, God, I am going to keep walking. I am going to persevere. I am going to be the warrior that you have called me to be, trusting that you are working on my behalf.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.